Throw a few pieces of wood into the fire and you've got yourself a nice bit of heat. But do the same thing and restrict the airflow and you've got yourself rocket fuel, a substance that can heat to nearly 3,000 degrees Celsius. That is enough to melt iron. Many of us know charcoal as the smokeless black fuel we use for our summer barbecues, but from 5,000 years ago until the 18th century, charcoal was the fuel that played a vital role in the economy and in everyday lives of people who live not only in Ireland but throughout the world. Put simply, charcoal was the oil or gas of its day. Now, charcoal has been made in Ireland for thousands of years, and today the practice of turning freshly cut wood into charcoal is having something of a comeback. Ella McSweeney has been to Laois and to Westmeath to hear from people who are passionate about charcoal. Passionate about charcoal, hard to believe.
You wouldn't believe it.
just to explain to us what it is, because it's obviously made from wood. But if I burn wood in my fire, it simply just goes to ash and that's the end of it.
It combusts because there's too much oxygen. So the next morning you'll find ash in the bottom of your fireplace. But what you do with charcoal, and what is so amazing about this, and it's a story I did not know about, was that you restrict the airflow. And if you burn wood and restrict the airflow, what you get is what the flesh on the bone, you're taking the flesh away, you're keeping the bone, the carbon, the skeleton of the tree. And this carbon has, this charcoal, and you see a piece here in front of us, mm-hmm. has the most amazing property. It's smokeless, for one, which is why we use it in barbecues. But secondly, it can burn, as you say, 3,000 degrees Celsius. Now, back in, you know, 5,000 years ago, or in Ireland, 1,200 years ago, you couldn't just turn on oil or gas. So this property fueled, as you said yourself, the everyday lives of people. And it really is the thing that kept people going, because you could melt iron with it.
And the great thing about charcoal is that if you, for example, put in stones on top of the charcoal when they're really glowing, then you can retain the heat in the stones.
You can retain the heat, absolutely. It is, in many ways, it's a mundane story in many ways, but it is this miracle fuel that, I don't know how someone found out that charcoal existed and how they actually made it, but the ability then, I mean, the iron melting point is 1,200 degrees Celsius. So before this, you just have wood, which has so much wetness in it, mm-hmm. it never gets to a high temperature. With charcoal, you've got the skeleton and you've got the ability to really heat and crucially heat metals.
Which means that you can melt metals, you can cast metals, and life changes dramatically
with
the discovery of charcoal.
Well, think back to living in the middle of, and I went down, as well, here to Westmeath, to a field, farm field. This is where people lived 1,200 years ago, early medieval times. And what did they have? They didn't have a gas cooker. They didn't have an ability to just turn on the oil. But they travelled a few miles down the road to where the forests were. They camped for 2 days. They made this charcoal, they brought it back, and then from that they could make implements that could kill animals, that could also clear the land. So there's a very intricate relationship between the ability of it to heat and also things like farming.
Arrowheads, axes, ploughs, all the rest of it. And it, as I say, it changed life. It's smokeless, so therefore it doesn't taint your food when you use it as we would use it today in a barbecue.
Yeah, although some charcoal I know that's made, they actually put a kind of a veil of kind of ash around it so that it does smoke, so that it's a sort of safety
mechanism.
You might have
hickory or something like that too.
Well, yeah, I think people want to see the smoke, but the reason barbecues use charcoal is mainly because it is smokeless. And the reason it's smokeless is because charcoal is the purest of the pure. Smoke is impurity or wetness. But if you take all that away from wood, you have this material that is smokeless.
Other people may have come across charcoal in capsules, activated charcoal. It's used in filters as well. So charcoal actually has a lot of contemporary uses besides on the barbecue.
It has a lot. I mean, obviously it was used as a fuel, but it was also used, it's used artistically as we'll hear, but also has this amazing capacity to filter out. So for example, you have when someone takes an overdose, often charcoal is used to filter the poison away from their body. It was also used in the Second World War for gas masks because it could filter the gas out. Also, it's used for making glue, animal charcoal. So pigs will be burnt down and the core is used to make glue.
Now, there are people in Ireland rejuvenating the tradition of making charcoal. How easy is it to do? And who did you meet? Who's doing it?
They are very passionate as well. I've spoken to numerous of them and they're very passionate. It's a skilled thing to get right, but it's an easy thing to do. You do not need tools. All you need is a back garden. In fact, it's something you could do, parents could do in your back garden if you live in suburban Ireland. I met a gentleman called Liam O'Sullivan, who has an interesting history. He's from Cullohill in County Laois, beautiful 250-year-old farmhouse down there. Liam's father was the estate manager for Sean T. O'Kelly's estate in Roundwood House. So he was born into nature, but he spent 20 years as a buyer for a major retailer, and then he went back to nature again. And Liam very kindly set up the whole process for me. I went down to Laois. His house is nestled in the woodland, so just as it used to be 1,200 years ago, goes up to the wood, coppices it, brings it down, makes charcoal.
So now we have to remove all the clay quite carefully. We don't want any stones going into the charcoal, because if you burn stones, they can fly and injure somebody.
So you're just using a brush and you're dusting off all the soil from the lid.
Yeah.
And this just, for all intents and purposes, looks like a huge bin.
The actual barrel itself is a tar barrel, and we actually cut a hole in the very top of it. And we put some holes in the bottom of it as well for the air to go in. And to seal it off, we put an old dustbin lid.
And this is the moment of truth.
So now we've taken the lid off.
Look at that.
And you can see all the charcoal sticks in it.
Sticks of charcoal, they are perfect sticks of charcoal.
And if you break one open, you can see that should pure charcoal in it there. You can actually see the rings, and that'll tell you how old it is.
Do you remember the first time you made charcoal?
Yes, it's about 4 years ago. It was the excitement when you actually open it. And then you can actually take the charcoal and use it yourself. And you can use charcoal in so many different ways. You can use it medicinally. You can use it to keep snails away from all your lettuces and things like that. You can use it on footpaths.
Locally around here, would many people have made charcoal in the past?
Not very many. I'd say there'd be a handful in each county at the moment.
Do you know them all?
No, I don't, no.
There's not like an online
There's
group?
There's not a committee.
The National Association for Charcoal Makers?
No, no, not yet.
Because it's quite a skill.
Each burn you actually make is different, because trees come from different areas. Some trees are older than others. Others have come from ground. That's very good.
Why do you make charcoal? Why do you like it? I mean, it obviously excites you, and it is quite exciting, just that moment where you lift the lid and you peer down. But what is it about it that you find exciting?
It's an end product, because around us here, we're in Cullyhill. We have Cullyhill Mountains around us, which basically is covered with hazel, and there's quite a bit of ash as well. And you can go up and actually coppice some of the trees there, and they will resprout. But then you'll take those timbers down and you cut them into little logs, make your charcoal, and then you will use it to cook your food. So it's the whole process going from A to Z. I get a lot of satisfaction from that. It's working with the land.
Now, Liam, they're obviously making it for fun, but of course it was more than fun in the past. It was vital for survival. How much do we know of where charcoal was made? Or was it made by families individually, or were there centres for charcoal making?
Big centres around Ireland. Well, archaeologists are a strange group, because obviously they want to look at the past and often preserve the past, but in order for that to happen, they need development to happen. So in the past 20 years in Ireland, with all the motorways, they've been thrilled, obviously, that the motorways have been built, and it's their chance to unlock the past underneath the ground. And what they found across, anyone listening right now in their radio who's driving on a main motorway in Ireland, spare a thought for the fact that more than likely, very near you, is a huge charcoal pit. And this would have been a place where people would have walked to, camped for a few days, as I said, and made charcoal, this process that was so central and so important for people. Now, I went and met a gentleman, a young guy called Niall Kelly, who, like Liam, is completely obsessed about charcoal. He's an archaeologist who took me to Kilbeggan in County Westmeath, and he took me to the side of a motorway, pretty noisy, and he showed me the place where an old, ancient charcoal pit from 1,200 years ago was uncovered.
Charcoal production doesn't involve any specialised tools or implements. Basically, if you're a farmer with access to woodland resources, you can make charcoal. But it does involve specialised knowledge. And these guys knew what they were doing, they knew about the properties of the wood, and when they were making their charcoal, they could tell by the changing colour of the smoke coming out of these vent holes that the charcoal was ready. When that smoke turned to a wispy grey, a bluey grey, they knew that they had charcoal. They closed off their air holes, they completely closed the kiln and allowed it to cool for a day or so.
And then what they're doing is, after spending 2 or 3 days making this, they're collecting it, bringing it back to the settlement and then using it as this incredible fuel that it was.
It was so important in medieval times. It was the commodity of the day. It was the oil of early medieval times. People needed it, you know, it was important for technology.
And you've taken a match to this piece of charcoal here, and it is amazing, the heat of it, isn't it?
Yes. If you blow on that charcoal, you can feel the heat
come
straight back into your face. Yeah. These are early medieval firelighters. Without charcoal, you could not smelt iron. Without iron, you could not make the axes, the sickles, the ploughs, the swords, everything that drove society.
That's very interesting.
And all over Ireland as well, those pits. I mean, it is remarkable how many they have found and really how commonplace this was for people to be making this. And Niall is an incredible young guy. He recreated the pit that we went to there with his friend Brian Dolan in Wexford.
How big is it, by the way?
It's about 3 metres long. It's oblong in shape. And it was these pits. I mean, as I said earlier, charcoal is all about choking, you know, limiting to a maximum degree the oxygen. I have a piece here, actually, and this was the charcoal that Niall recreated last year in Wexford. That's, and he was saying actually how hard it is.
Now, there's charcoal that artists use as well. Now, is that the same charcoal as the one we...
Same process, different wood. The charcoal that artists use is from willow. And Liam, very kindly, I asked him, would he mind making me a stick of charcoal? I brought some in for you here. And he'd never done it before. And he did it for me in a tin. So it's a smaller process. But the tin, the paint tin, puts the willow in and puts it into then the charcoal bin. And this is what happened.
Oh,
wow.
Look at that. And in here are sticks of charcoal. They look like pencils. And you've got
now
a piece of paper.
Oh, fantastic.
That is drawing perfectly.
I'm very impressed with our first take on it, if you like. And we put about 40 sticks, about a foot long, into this old paint tin. And the results are very good. We wrapped each one in old sacking to stop them joining together and stop them sagging in it when the heat comes on it. Because when the heat comes on it, they actually reduce in size and length.
And willow grows anywhere. You can find willow pretty much in every part of the country.
It loves the water.
You can just pull off a few sticks of willow and then put it into a tin can, into the fire with a hole in the top.
Yeah, that's the basic process. If you get the right source of material, you will be able to make your own charcoal sticks.
That's extraordinary. I'm looking at the charcoal sticks. They're about, in old money, about 8 inches long, but they were a foot long to begin with.
And that's
with,
because of all the water and all the other things that are in wood. And obviously, as I said, you're taking the flesh off the bone, getting down to the skeleton.
Are there many communities worldwide who still make charcoal commercially, for their own use?
Many, many, many. And Niall Kenny, God bless him, the archaeologist I spoke to, this is what he does for pleasure as well as his living. He takes his long-suffering girlfriend on holidays, and he told me a little incident that happened when he went to Thailand.
When I was in Thailand with my girlfriend, who hates everything about charcoal, we had an option to go on an elephant ride or visit some charcoal sites on the Burmese border. So we went with option B, and we rented a bike and we went travelling around the charcoal making region, visiting colliers, people who still make charcoal in the same way we did 1,500 years ago. We visited one man who's wearing an Arsenal jersey. Such is the rigours of charcoal making.
So a mix of the modern and a bit of the past as
bizarre,
well there.
Bizarre, absolutely bizarre, yeah.
Oh, he is such a romantic, isn't he? Come on, darling, let's go visit some charcoal.
He's obsessed by it. He's a remarkable gentleman.
There was a car powered by charcoal.
There was in China. It was very popular in China because obviously there is this, as we said, this amazing ability to heat to a very high temperature. So there was a car invented by Tang Zhongming, I think his name was, that was popular up to the 1950s in China.
Charcoal as a solution to climate change. Now, how would that work?
It's interesting. I mean, climate change scientists are very excited about this because they have found that obviously you're locking the carbon in and it is very difficult to get the carbon out, to unlock the carbon. So this thing called biochar. So they make the charcoal and then they bury it back into the ground. And this was something that Amazonian tribes would have done 2,000 years ago. It's called terra prata. And it fertilised the ground because the structure, the crumbly structure, actually helped sort of do what worms do. And there are a lot of scientists who feel this could be the future for dealing with carbon emissions. And once scientist in England, Chris Turney, has built a 5 metre long microwave to create this biochar and then bury it back in. And it acts as this soil enhancer. And of course, then that means you don't need to use artificial fertilisers, which cause emissions. Last year, I went down to Cork. And there's one man, a scientist in Ireland, who's looking at this. And I went down to Cork to a tillage farmer and he showed me two test sites, one where he'd used biochar and dug it into the soil, one where he hadn't with oats. The difference was amazing. The oats with biochar were enormous. They were fat. They were about a metre and a half higher. So there is potential and scientists are looking at this. But again, it's just furthers the story of this remarkable, remarkable fuel.
Quick questions from Kieran Doyle. Is animal charcoal still being made?
I don't really know the context within which that question comes. I do know pharmaceutically it is, as I said, with things like pigs and cows, the animal charcoal is used to make things like glue.
Another one. What about the gas given off during the charcoal production process? Now, most of the carbon's being trapped, so whatever's coming off is other things.
Yeah, I mean, the gas goes off obviously when you burn wood, and then the carbon is actually locked in and going back to, obviously if you keep burning this, then the carbon is going to go. But when you go back to something like biochar and you're burying it back in the soil, it is very difficult for it, almost impossible for it to be released again. And that's why scientists are looking at it as this possible solution to climate change.
I mean, you're looking at wood, which is basically cellulose, I suppose. So you're looking at carbon and hydrogen. So what are you getting off? You're getting off water vapour and a little bit
and a lot of impurities. I mean, the amount of water in wood is remarkable. And if you look at, for example, when I was with Liam, the oil tin that he filled full of wood after the process, it was about just over half full because it reduces down, reduces down, reduces down.
Shrinks, interesting one here. Someone says, when there were no trees, some turf was used to produce charcoal. I suppose the same process would work. And that was to help the blacksmith making horseshoes and so on.
Yeah.
Another one, I'm going out to make some charcoal right away. I may be gone a long time.
It takes 3 days.
It takes 3 days. Yeah. All right. Very interesting. Anyway, it could save the planet someday. But in the meantime, quite nice to know about the charcoal that fuels the barbecue. Ella, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.